In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that's always what you want to see right at the top of your sermon, technical difficulties. So, you've heard me talk before and say that I've had difficulty figuring out how to approach different sermons and stuff like that. Today was definitely no different. And the sermon hit me as I was standing here. Has anyone been following the coronavirus? This will become apparent, I promise. Okay, for those that haven't, let me give you a little background on the coronavirus. It started in Japan. It's actually got a 2000...
China.
Sorry. Started in China. It's got a 2015 patent through a medical company, among other things. But this disease, if you actually look at it, it's been kind of interesting to watch. It is almost daily doubling. It has about a 4% mortality rate. Can infect, each person that's sick can infect about 14 people, roughly. Okay, my priest is really weird. What the heck does this have to do with Christianity? Well, I got to thinking specifically because of the gospel, but also because of what Paul says in the New Testament. How often do we actually consider what our job is as Christians? How often do we actually look at what has been done before? John went through the countryside proclaiming a baptism of repentance, right? John diminished and Christ comes on the scene. What's the first thing we see him do? He's walking along the beach, right? And the one becomes three, becomes five, becomes multiple. Isn't that how an infection works? A disease, a virus? We're not called to be viruses as Christians. We're not called to be diseases as Christians. But we are called to actually spread in exponential numbers. Christ comes on the scene and says, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there." Simon goes and gets someone else. The sons of thunder go and get people. They are drawn to Christ by Christ's actions around them. Constantly, constantly, more and more people come in. Here's a question. When you're not here, do people know what you are? When you're not here, do people realize that you're a Christian? When you're not here, are you doing things that are calling people to Christ? I bring that up and tie it to this idea of the coronavirus because the virus actually knows what it's supposed to do. It knows that it's going to infect this person. And then that person is going to infect 14 others. And those 14 others infect 14 others. And they infect 14 others apiece. And that's why it has a doubling rate every day. That's why it has a doubling rate every day. Do you tell a single person in a week's time anything about Christianity? Do you enter into any of those conversations? Do you have any of those thoughts? And it's not to call you out, but it's fascinating to think about, right? In the time of Christ, Christianity doubled all the time. It was constantly doubling amidst persecution, amidst plagues, amidst diseases, amidst everything. Paul on a ship is shipwrecked, saves the jailers that were on the ship. They come to Christ because he goes through, and even though he's a criminal, he goes and helps the ones that abuse him. Constantly. Constantly he is moving towards Christ. He makes mistakes. He says the wrong thing. I mean, Paul is still human. Paul is Paul. Just as Peter was Peter. Sons of Zebedee open their mouth. Lord, do you want us to smite that village down there? You got to think Jesus is walking along going, why can't you guys understand what I'm trying to do? No, I don't want you to go kill them. Go talk to them. Point it out. Give them an opportunity. Give them choice. Can you imagine if we as Christians actually did what we were supposed to do and acted more like the coronavirus in our mannerisms, what the world might look like? I hate to break it to you. In this day and age, at best, we seem to be focusing on the idea of a term that came out when I was in seminary called monotheistic therapeutic deism. Monotheistic therapeutic deism. What that is I believe in a single God. He makes me feel better. Beyond that, it doesn't matter. Phrases that go along with that understanding are, I can worship God fishing on a lake. Yes, you can. I can worship God on a golf course. Yes, you can. Both cases, you should. I can worship God camping. Let me tell you the point of the story and where this actually acts more like a virus. A pastor long ago had a parishioner that all of a sudden just stopped going to church. And this is in a time where there was no electricity, there was no cars, there was no nothing. So the pastor goes and sees this particular parishioner on a blustery evening. He knocks on the door, and the guy opens the door and sees it's the pastor, and he says, Pastor, you're more than welcome to come in, but I'm not coming back to church. I don't care what you say. Pastor goes in. They're both sitting down by the fire getting comfortable. Neither saying anything. Pastor actually takes up one of the pokers and is kind of poking at the fire. And a hot coal knocks off the log and rolls out away from the fire a little bit. And they both watch it. And very quickly that coal goes dark and cold. No heat. No light. No use. The pastor takes the poker and he hits the coal and it rolls back towards the fire, closer to the log, and immediately it bursts into light and flame again, giving off heat. Pastor stands up and says, well, I should take my leave of you. And as he turns to the gentleman that he was visiting, he sees the gentleman's crying. Gentleman says, I got the message, Pastor. I'll see you Sunday. We can worship God and should worship God in all places at all times. Scripture tells us that. It also tells us we shouldn't do it alone. If we're not supposed to be alone, we need to act like a virus, infecting the entire world with the joy of Christianity. Otherwise, we're nothing more than a burnt out ember on the cold concrete.